welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of horror. Later on, it's Suspense from 1945, but first, a broadcast of The Weird Circle and a story by Robert Louis Stevenson called Markheim, a syndicated broadcast from 1944.
Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale. Markheim.
You feel safe, don't you, Markheim? You feel safe and fat and secure, don't you, Markheim? Sitting all alone before the fireplace in your uncle's drawing room. Ah, but you're not alone, Markheim. I'm with you. With you all the time. Invert your eyes, Markheim, and look within you. Invert them if you can, and then perhaps you will see me. I love to watch you thus at rest, Markheim. Safe and fat and secure. For then you are so much my servant. Stir, Markheim. Stir.
Just when I was relaxing so nicely.
Answer it, Markheim. Answer it.
Oh, that instrument is a menace to the peace.
Arise, Markheim, and do answer the phone.
Confound it.
Get up, Markheim. Get up and answer that phone.
Hello?
Hello? Is Markheim there?
Speaking. Who's this?
Rogers.
Rogers? For heaven's sakes, man.
Hey, what's the matter?
I told you never to call me here. Suppose my uncle answered the phone.
Oh, listen, Markheim. I'm your broker, not your nursemaid.
Well, what do you want, man? Quickly. One of the servants may come back.
Your stock has dropped. I'll need money within the hour.
Stock? Rogers, look. Let's not talk about this over the phone. I'll come over right away.
You may not have time, Markheim.
Oh. How much will you need? I'll try to raise it at once.
6,000.
6,000? So much?
You knew the hazards when you bought on margin. If I don't have the money within the hour, you will have lost everything.
Within the hour?
Within the hour.
6,000.
6,000.
All right. All right. I'll try to raise it at once. 6,000. Within the hour? Where am I going to get it?
Come now, Markheim. There is a way, you know.
Where am I going to get it?
Let me help you, Markheim.
Where am I going to get $6,000?
Let me suggest something to you, Markheim. Look around the room.
Nothing in this room is worth $6,000.
The wall, Markheim. The wall.
A portrait of my uncle. Oh, I couldn't ask him, even if I could reach him within the hour. If he ever knew I was speculating.
Not the portrait, Markheim. Behind the portrait. Behind the portrait.
Wait a minute now. There is a possibility after all.
You're in deep already, Markheim. What have you to lose?
I'm in deep already. What have I to lose?
Stir, Markheim. Stir.
Still, maybe it would be better to lose all that stock and forget about it.
Move, Markheim. Move.
Oh, why do I get into such dilemmas?
Get up, Markheim. Get up and move.
Oh, what the devil. Now if I can only lift this picture off the wall. Heavy. Oh, confound it. Set it down. There. There it is. Ah, bet the old fella doesn't even guess that I know about this wall safe.
Put your fingers up to the dial, Markheim.
Or the combination, either.
Put your fingers up to the dial and twist it, Markheim.
Two to the right. All the way around and stop at 8. All the way around to the left. Past 8 and stop at 4. Ah, there it is.
Now put your hand into the safe.
Yes, there's the money. A small fortune, but I'll take just enough. 6,000 in wonderful paper money.
Draw out the money, Markheim.
I got it.
Quickly now, Markheim. Quickly. Close the door of the safe and put back the picture. That's the way, Markheim. Rush into the street and through the city.
Taxi! Taxi!
Quickly. Quickly. My taxi, swift and sure. Now into the broker's building, Markheim. Up to his office. Place the money in his hands.
Here's the 6,000, Rogers.
Oh, quick work, Markheim.
Now you may return to your uncle's home. But with leisure, Markheim. You may even walk if you wish. And you may cock your hat at a jaunty angle. For luck was with you this afternoon. And you may smile as you enter the drawing room once again.
Oh, hello, nephew.
Oh, uncle, I...
Did I surprise you, my boy?
Well, yes. You're home early, aren't you?
Yes, a little. Christmas Eve, you know. It's hard to get work on the afternoon before Christmas Eve. I thought I'd have my lunch at home and remain.
You're right, uncle. The afternoon before Christmas Eve is no time for business.
I'm glad we're of the same mind. Sit down. Sit down.
Yes, uncle.
This room is so comfortable. Oh, I hardly have time enough to enjoy it, though.
That's true, uncle. It's a room to relax in. I love to come here and just sit.
Well, that's because the appointments are so carefully chosen. The furniture and the rugs and the hanging, they all complement each other. Even that silly old portrait of me.
Portrait?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That portrait of you. It's not so silly, Uncle. An excellent likeness of you.
Thank you for the compliment, nephew. But I dare say you're lying. Look at it.
I see nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's crooked. It's slightly off-center. Oh,
why, yes, it is. I'll fix it. Just a little push. There it is. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine. Fine, thank you. You know, that crooked portrait reminded me of something.
Huh? Do you care to tell me?
Oh, it's nothing important. It just reminded me to take the picture down one of these days.
Take it down? Why?
Well, no, nothing special. Just to dust it off a little, shall we say.
Perhaps I can help you. When are you going to take it down?
Let's see. Not today. And tomorrow is Christmas. The next day, probably. And I won't need any help, my boy. No help at all.
As you wish, sir.
Now I think I shall be going upstairs. I have a few gifts I still want to wrap.
See you later, then.
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a moment. What was it I wanted to ask you about?
Ask me? I wouldn't know, Uncle.
Oh, never mind. It's probably not too important if it slipped my mind. I'll call you if I remember. I'll see you later, nephew.
Goodbye for now, sir. Good heavens. The day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow, Markheim. And you know why he's going to take that portrait down.
He's sure to examine that safe carefully. What'll I do?
Replace the money, Markheim.
Where can I get $6,000? Where can I get so much money by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
What on earth's the matter with me anyway? Each problem begets a new one. I wonder if there's any escape.
Think, Markheim. Think.
Oh, nephew.
Yes, Uncle?
It just occurred to me. I can't find my ruby stick pin. Have you borrowed it?
Why, no. I'd never borrow it without your permission.
No, I see. Then I guess I must have lost it. Well, never mind. I'll speak to my insurance broker.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. One thing after another. Now, where can I get $6,000 by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
Where? Where?
The ruby stick pin, Markheim. Doesn't that suggest something to you?
Now, who would have so much money?
The ruby stick pin, Markheim. Don't you remember? Don't you remember that afternoon? That afternoon you entered the dealer's shop on that side street downtown? That dirty little deserted side street? Don't you remember how quiet the place was? How all alone you both were?
So you're back, young man.
I'm sure I'm welcome. You've made a tidy penny on me.
Yes. And you should expect I would profit well.
I think you profit much too well.
Some of my customers are ignorant, and then I touch a dividend on my superior knowledge. And some of them are...
Some of them, yes.
Some of them are dishonest. In that case, I profit by my virtue.
Frankly, I need no preamble to our dealings. Let's get on.
Yes, indeed, let us get on. What have you brought me now? Another curio from your uncle's cabinet?
No, not from my uncle's cabinet. I brought you this.
Oh.
And it's genuine, let me assure you.
Your assurance promises me nothing.
But it is, I tell you.
Calm yourself. I trust my own eyes. It is genuine. Ruby Stickpin. Very elegantly designed.
How much will you give me for it?
300.
Why, you fool, that's worth at least 1,000.
Does it matter whether I give you 300 or 3,000? You'll lose it anyway. I'd rather enrich myself than some stock speculator.
I'll not give it to you for 300.
It's you who needs the money, not I.
But 300?
I'll be generous. 400, shall we say.
Very well. Since I have no choice, I'll take the 400.
Good. Now you wait here. I'll go upstairs and fetch the money.
You remember that, don't you, Markheim? You remember his exasperating gait up those stairs to the floor above? To the room above, to the place where he kept his money. How easy it would be.
I wonder if he has that much money up there now.
How can you doubt it?
$6,000 is a lot of money. Does he have it? Suppose he has. How could I get it? He never leaves his shop.
You know how, Markheim?
He'd be in the way. How could I get it?
You know how, Markheim. It would be so easy.
Oh, I think I'll think about it later. I'm going to the kitchen to talk to the cook a while. Get my mind off this.
Run away if you like, Markheim. You can't escape me. Go into the kitchen. I don't mind. I'm right with you, Markheim. I'm right with you.
Hello there, Mrs. Cleary.
What? Oh, you startled me, Master Markheim. I was buried in this newspaper and didn't hear you come in.
Say, what's so fascinating about that newspaper?
I have a little time before the oven heats up, so I thought I'd read about that new murder.
Murder?
Yes, terrible thing, Master Markheim. The murderer used a knife.
A knife?
I guess it must be easy to commit murder with a sharp knife. Some people would run a knife into a man's body as easily as I would into that goose I'm cooking.
I just came in for a piece of cake, Mrs. Cleary.
Cake? Oh, yes, over there. You've got to admit that sometimes it's easy to commit murder. Of course, the murderer might be caught, but it would be kind of easy, wouldn't you say? Especially with a sharp knife.
That's it, Markheim. A sharp knife. So easy. So easy. Plan is formulating in your mind, isn't it, Markheim?
It should be easy. $6,000 at the stroke of a knife.
But you won't carry it out, Markheim, while you sit in your uncle's drawing room.
If I only keep my nerve, if I don't break at the last moment.
You won't break, Markheim. I'll be with you.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Uncle. What's the matter, sir?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I said, Merry Christmas.
It could be merrier, nephew. I wish you wouldn't spend your leisure time in my drawing room.
What? I won't if you don't want me to.
In fact, I forbid you to use this drawing room as your den. I forbid you to lounge here alone.
I'm sorry, Uncle. What have I done?
I don't care to discuss it now, nephew. It's Christmas Day. But I would like an hour with you tomorrow.
Of course, of course. As much time as you
wish. Now, I'd like you to leave me. I have some thinking to do.
I must have done something terrible. All right. I'll leave. I'll go at once.
He knows, Markheim.
I wonder if he's looked in his safe.
He knows, Markheim. You'll have to act swiftly now.
If he's going to speak to me tomorrow, I'll have to get that money. Today. Today. Today.
Here it is, Markheim. The dealer's house. Ring the bell. Don't hesitate, Markheim. Ring it.
I can't. I can't kill him.
Your uncle knows, Markheim. Ring the bell. Ring it. Again.
Why does he delay?
What is it you want?
Must you keep me out here in the cold?
I was talking on the telephone. Now, what do you want? I'm not buying anything today.
I haven't come to sell.
Have you come to wish me a Merry Christmas?
No. I've come to buy a Christmas present for a lady.
Why don't you go elsewhere?
All the other shops are closed. It was a sudden invitation to dinner, and I mustn't go empty-handed. You'll be doing me a great favor, and I'm willing to pay double.
Oh, well, come in, come in. You're an old customer, after all. And I take it you're fond of the lady.
Yes, very.
Well, far be it from me to stand in the way of a courtship.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Especially when you're willing to pay double. Now, let me see. What have I got there? How do you like this mirror? 14th century, warranted. Comes from a good collection, too.
Mirror? Get it away from my face.
Why not a mirror?
Get it away from my face, I tell you. No, not a mirror.
Perhaps you see in it a reminder of past sins and follies.
I don't like mirrors.
They say a mirror often yields a reflection of one's inner self.
Enough! Enough! Take it away, I tell you.
Very well. Calm yourself. Perhaps this may suit you. This silver compact here on the shelf. I'll get it for you.
Now, Markheim. Now. While his back is turned. The knife, Markheim. Swing it with your whole arm. Swiftly. Swiftly. With your whole arm, Markheim.
There! Killed him.
It is done, Markheim. It is well done.
I've killed him. I must get out of here.
Fool, where are you running?
I can't remain. They'll find me here. I'll hang. The front door. I must get out.
Stop. Do you want to destroy yourself? You cannot go out that door. Listen to what is happening on the other side of it. Listen.
Well, here's the place, Garrity.
All right, you go on in. I wait outside.
Now, don't be a grouch. This is Christmas Day, and we're both going to present this turkey to the old man.
He's the worst miser that ever lived. What does he know about Christmas?
That doesn't matter. You agreed to walk down here with me, and now don't go away. I'm going to knock on the door.
You see, there's no answer. Maybe he's not home.
He never leaves. I'll try again. Hello, hello in there. Are you coming out?
You're making enough noise to raise the dead.
Maybe he's asleep.
Oh, come on, let's go.
No, no, I think I'll wait a while. I expect he'll get up soon, walk over and open the door. You can go if you like.
Well, I guess I'll wait along with you.
Did you hear that, Markheim? He's going to wait for the old man to get up and open the door. Such a joke.
I must get out of here.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
The back door. The yard. I must get out of here. I've killed him. They'll find me and I'll hang.
Stop running away, you fool. Are you going to forget your uncle and the safe behind his portrait?
The back door. To the yard.
Stop where you are. Don't you hear those voices in the alleyway? Listen. They're saying something that concerns you.
Let me see what you got for Christmas.
Oh, I got lots of things.
Any marbles?
Sure, Billy, a whole bag full. I got them in my pocket.
So did I. Want to play me?
Well, sure, play you right now. Where do we play?
Well, I don't want to play in the gutter. How about the backyard?
His backyard?
Why not? Don't be scared of that old foggy. We'll keep on playing until the old man gets up and opens the door and hollers at us.
Okay, I'm game.
Did you hear that, Markheim? Till the old man opens the door and hollers at them.
I'm trapped in this house.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
I'm trapped in this house.
Stop lashing yourself, Markheim. You have done well this afternoon, and a great deal more lies ahead. Now come along. Up the stairs. Higher. And higher. And higher still. Up the stairs to the landing, and through the door, Markheim. Through the door. And into this room. Here's where the old dealer keeps his money. Now look carefully. Remember, 6,000 to replace in your uncle's safe.
I must get that money. I must.
Of course you must.
It's safe up here, and quiet.
So quiet, Markheim, with the door closed.
Nothing to distract my search for the money. This desk. Not there.
Perhaps behind this mirror. This full-length mirror, Markheim.
It might be behind that mirror. But I daren't look at it, except with the corner of my eye.
Why fear the mirror, Markheim? The money is right behind it. Now look at it.
I'll look behind the mirror as a last resort.
Look at it now, Markheim, with your full face.
No. No.
Look into the mirror, Markheim. Squarely into the mirror.
I should see my reflection, but I don't.
Of course not, Markheim. You see me instead.
Who are you?
I am your evil genius, Markheim.
You are the voice within my brain. You are the voice that has helped me to steal and helped me to murder. What do you want of me?
I have spent too long cultivating you as my tool, Markheim, to give you up easily. Once you trembled at the thought of theft, but I rid you of that fear. And this afternoon you reached the crisis. Murder.
Let me alone. Please. I beg of you. Let me alone. What's that? A footstep. Someone's coming up those stairs.
Hide, Markheim. Hide.
It's the dealer. It can be no one else. The dead man's coming up those stairs. If only I knew how to pray. The door. How can I hide from a dead man? Good heavens. Uncle.
Well, nephew. I expected to find you here.
Uncle, how'd you know?
The ruby stick pin. Yesterday evening it was missing, and I thought you had borrowed it. I went into your room to look for it and found this on your dresser instead.
The dealer's card.
Exactly. When you denied borrowing the stick pin, I telephoned him. He remembered the pin. But it was no shock, my boy. I've never really trusted you.
I have nothing to say, Uncle.
And later that evening, I examined my safe behind the portrait. $6,000 were missing.
Then, when you spoke to me this morning, when you forbade me to stay in your drawing room alone, you knew.
Yes, I knew. And when you left the house this afternoon, I knew you were trying to find money to replace what you took from the safe. Where could you go for money? But to some dealer.
I see.
So I telephoned him and asked him to call me. That is, in case you should arrive. And he agreed and left the side door open.
Then that's why he kept me waiting outside. He was talking to you.
That's how it worked out. I hurried down here with a policeman. The worst I had expected was that you'd be arrested for theft.
And now it's for murder.
Yes, and he's waiting for you downstairs. My nephew. Shall we go?
Yes. Yes, I'll go with you. I'll go. But please, just one more moment to my
house. I warn you, nephew, you cannot escape.
I don't intend to, Uncle.
Put that vase down. What are you doing?
I'm going to smash that mirror.
Wait, Markheim. Do not destroy me. I can help you get away.
Your power is gone. You can't stop me from doing this. Now I don't care about the scaffold, nor what lies beyond it. I've broken the mirror, and in the time that remains, I shall have peace.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from 1944. You are listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeFonier. Now, from one famous author of books to a famous author on radio, Lucille Fletcher is behind this next story on suspense. She's responsible for two of radio's most famous plays, one of them called The Hitchhiker, which was adapted on suspense, and another being Sorry Wrong Number, which was repeated live on the suspense series 8 times in a 17-year period with Agnes Moorehead reprising her role. Her story next, The Furnished Floor, was heard on CBS on September 13, 1945.
Bring you Miss Mildred Natwick and Mr. Don DeFore as stars of The Furnished Floor, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness and entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant, as Roma Wines bring you a remarkable tale of suspense.
And with The Furnished Floor, a new study written for suspense by Lucille Fletcher, the author of Sorry Wrong Number and other distinguished radio plays, and with the performances of Don DeFore as Mr. Jennings and Mildred Natwick as Mrs. Hawkins, Roma Wines hope indeed to keep you in suspense.
Sit down, rest yourself a minute, Ms. McIntyre, and take a cup of tea. I got some news for you. You'll never guess it in 100 years. Do you remember that Mr. Jennings, you know, my nice tenant that moved away last year? A tall, thin fellow, the one with a pretty little wife, Mabel, who died so sudden last October. Oh, sure, you know him. Most devoted husband I ever seen. Always bringing her flowers and billing and cooing. He moved out upstairs about 2 weeks after she died. So heartbroken he was. Sold every stick of furniture, got rid of the canary and the piano, and just skidooed. I expected any day to hear they'd fished him up out of the river, but no. This morning, while I'm cleaning down the stairs, who do you think should ring my bell?
Hello, Mrs. Hawkins. Remember me?
What? It's Mr. Jennings. Hi, Mr. Jennings. You sure give me a turn. I never expected to see you around this neighborhood again.
Well, here I am. How's the upstairs floor?
Just as you left it, Mr. Jennings. I haven't rented it to a soul.
Well, I want to rent it again.
But you, Mr. Jennings?
That's right. I'm setting up housekeeping again.
Well, if that don't be... Getting married again, Mr. Jennings?
In a way. Let's run up and take a look, shall we?
Okay, if you say so. Only, won't it make you feel kind of blue to see the old place again?
Blue? Why should it?
Well, memories, you know.
That's just what I want to find. Memories. Everything just as it was. I hope you've left it just the same, Mrs. Hawkins. No painting or new wallpaper?
Not yet. Thought I'd fix it up to please the new tenant.
Well, leave it just as it was. Please, for me.
Well, here's the keys. Maybe you'd like to go in and look around by yourself.
No. Do come in, Mrs. Hawkins. You were always so very kind. More a friend than a landlady. Oh, how beautiful it looks, even bare. The sunshine always was so warm up here. And the trees. Why, I'd almost forgotten how close the trees were. And there's the marks our sofa made against the wall. And the square shapes of our pictures still on the wallpaper.
Well, it could stand a good cleaning, of course.
Do you remember how Mabel used to sit here of an evening and sing? Now, the upright was over there, and over at the Maxfield Parish, and over near the bay window, above the ferns, the canary sat in his cage, and when she sang Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, he'd always sing with her.
Oh, come now, Mr. Jennings. You'll be getting yourself all fretted up.
Oh, no. I assure you, Mrs. Hawkins, it's very important. You see, I'm going to have it again, just as it was.
Is that so?
I've made a list, but in a year, so many details escape one. Like those ferns, for instance. Well, I'd almost forgotten how she loved ferns. Oh, yes, and there was something over in that corner. What was it? A rocker. Her mother's old rocker. It used to squeak over a loose board whenever anybody sat in it.
You mean you're going to try and find all them things again, Mr. Jennings?
Yes.
But you sold all them to junk dealers. You gave them away, but you scattered them every which way when you broke up your home.
I've already been looking. I've collected a lot of things. It isn't so hard. You see, our furniture wasn't very precious to anyone but us.
Well, of course you know what you're doing, Mr. Jennings. It's none of my business, I suppose.
Will 2 months' rent be enough in advance, Mrs. Hawkins? I won't be moving in for another couple of weeks, but from time to time, I'd like to have things delivered.
Well, 2 months will be just dandy. I'll make you a special bargain price, too, seeing you don't want no redecorating. You're sure your lady friend won't want none either, Mr. Jennings?
I hardly think so.
Well, I hope you'll both be very happy here. It's nice to have you back in the neighborhood.
It's good to be home.
Now, Mrs. McIntyre, what would you have done in my place? I admit it gave me a funny feeling, you know. You would think a man had more respect for the dead and hurt it only less than a year than to bring a new wife plumb back to the same floor and the same furniture. And I say, what kind of a woman is she, too, to stand for that kind of nonsense? But, of course, it ain't really none of my business. Besides, 2 months' rent. 2 months' rent. Well, Mr. Jennings, what are you doing here this time of night?
I'm moving in.
Moving in?
I intended coming much earlier, but I had so many last-minute things to do, like picking up Dickie and...
Oh, now, don't tell me that's your old canary, Mr. Jennings.
Yes, it's little Dickie. I found him in a pet shop on 3rd Avenue, in his old cage. He looks pretty chipper, doesn't he?
Well, aren't you the one? I'd have thought he'd have died of lonesomeness ages ago.
Did all my furniture and things get here, Mrs. Hawkins?
Just about. They've been delivering off and on for the last week. You sure got everything back, Mr. Jennings?
Well, pretty nearly everything. A couple of rugs are missing, and our old kitchen table, and... Oh, say, I got the piano. I bought the old upright back from the Sunday school. Boy, I've been more than lucky. Miss Hawkins, you won't mind, will you, if I start moving some of it into place tonight? I'll be very quiet.
Tonight? Well, it's pretty near midnight, Mr. Jennings.
Yes, I know, but I've have to work all day tomorrow and the next day. You see, there's so little time.
Oh, you're expecting her soon?
Very soon.
Oh, well.
It's got to be already before she comes. Otherwise, she won't come.
You don't say, Mr. Jennings.
So, if you don't mind, it'll only be for a few nights. And I won't move any of the heavy pieces after midnight. If you only knew what this means to me, Mrs. Hawkins, how I've waited for months.
Is that so, Mr. Jennings? Well, I'm sure glad you found somebody to make a home for you again, and I hope she's the right girl for you and is going to make you happy.
Oh, she will, all right.
Of course, there are some people I know say a man ought to wait a couple of years, but, well, I was only saying yesterday, certain men are natural-born husbands and homebodies. They need a home and a woman to look after them.
Yes, that's true. Well, good night, Mrs. Hawkins. I'll try not to disturb you.
Good night, Mr. Jennings. Come in, Mrs. McIntyre. No, it's okay. He's at the office. You'll never know we come up. Yeah. Take a look around. Ain't it something? Everything fixed up down to the last knife and fork, just exactly as she had it. Don't it give you the creeps? Yep, that's the same canary singing in his cage, just like it used to. And look, Mrs. McIntyre, come here in the bedroom. He's even got her clothes hung up in the closet. Now, I'm asking you, Mrs. McIntyre, what do you think the second Mrs. Jennings is going to say to that? Mr. Jennings?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Hawkins.
Well, I've been beside myself with worry, Mr. Jennings. Where you been all this time, if I may ask?
Right here.
Right here?
What did Didn't you hear us come in? I've been to work all day, of course, but last night, a little after one. Oh, perhaps you were sleeping.
Us? You mean you and...
Well, yes. She's come.
You mean she's been upstairs all day?
Certainly.
But I haven't heard a sound.
Well, probably she's sleeping. She was very tired. The trip was more exhausting than I'd dreamed.
Well, you might have stopped by and told me on your way to work this morning, Mr. Jennings. Of course, it's none of my business, but I could have at least introduced myself to my own tenant and maybe even helped her out.
Oh, it's all right. She doesn't want to see anybody just yet.
Oh, no? Well, of course, I wouldn't intrude on your privacy for anything, Mr. Jennings, although I'm sure when first Mrs. Jennings was alive, we were all friends here.
Oh, no, no, it isn't that. It's only that in these first few days, everything is so new and strange. She's not quite herself.
Okay, Mr. Jennings, you know best, but if you should want me, you just call down the dumb waiter, and I'll be right up.
Thanks, Mrs. Hawkins. Thank you. But on no account are we to be disturbed. On no account.
Wrong, Mrs. McIntyre. The last thing in the world I am is a busybody, but, well, you know, I don't go out much on account of my heart, and our two floors are kind of close. Downstairs in my dining room, you can hear most everything that goes on upstairs. Now, wouldn't you have thought there'd have been something last night? Some talking or footsteps or dishes rattling? Well, I'm telling you, I sat there till midnight, and there wasn't a thing. Nothing at all, except along about 12:30... I hear the dumb waiter come rumbling down the shaft. Well, I just stole a peek, and there, going by with his claws sticking up in the air, is that little yellow canary. Dead.
Good morning, Mrs. Hawkins.
Good morning. And how's Mrs. Jennings today?
Wonderful.
Feeling a bit better now?
Oh, yes. Of course, she's still very weak, but every day I'm sure will make her stronger. I have high hopes for her recovery.
You had a doctor in to see her yet? Dr. Rubenstein, my doctor, is very good.
No, I'm afraid a doctor wouldn't help her. No, no.
Mrs. Jennings! Mrs. Jennings! It's Mrs. Hawkins! The lady downstairs. I heard you were sick, and so I got a little bit of lunch for you, Mrs. Jennings. It's just a little bowl of homemade chicken broth, but it's nice and rich. You sleeping, Mrs. Jennings? Okay, then I'll just slip in quietly with my own keys, if you don't mind, and leave it right beside your bed. Oh, that's funny. Oh, he must have bought a new kind of lock. He didn't say anything to me. Mrs. Jennings! Mrs. Jennings!
Good evening, Mrs. Hawkins.
You got a minute, Mr. Jennings. I'd like to speak to you, if you don't mind.
Well, Mrs. Jennings is waiting for me upstairs.
It's about Mrs. Jennings. She's still poorly, you say?
Well, she is confined a good deal to her bed.
Well, why don't you get someone in to look after her? I know a good woman, Mrs. McIntyre, goes out nursing by the day.
No, oh no.
Well, I don't like it, Mr. Jennings, locking her up like that every morning so not a soul can get in. Suppose something happened.
What could happen?
What could happen? Anything could happen. A fire.
Oh, that doesn't worry me.
Or she could get worse and maybe even die.
Oh, no.
Everybody's got to go sometime, Mr. Jennings. I wouldn't take no chances.
Yes, I know. But not her.
Not her? Whatever do you mean, Mr. Jennings?
Because she's immune.
Immune? Against... She ain't got no contagious disease up there, has she?
No, no, it's nothing like that. Oh, Mrs. Hawkins, please, please don't worry or be uneasy. It's worked out so beautifully. It's nothing that can do you any harm. And we're so happy. So wonderfully happy.
Mr. Jennings, I'll be up in about 1 hour with a plumber.
A plumber?
I'm sorry to disturb you at supper time, but there's something gone wrong with the pipes, and we think it's upstairs in your floor.
You can't come in. Mrs. Jennings will be sleeping.
Plumber says it's the only time he can come. Unless he comes tomorrow afternoon while you're at the office. You want to leave me your key, Mr. Jennings?
No, no, I can't.
Well, he'll have to get in there sooner or later, Mr. Jennings. The water downstairs, all black and discolored.
It's out of the question tonight. I'll discuss it with you in the morning.
Okay, Mr. Jennings. Now, Mrs. McIntyre, how would you feel? Your own house going to wreck and ruin. You can't even do nothing about it. I ask you, what kind of a thing's he got up there that nobody can see? I tell you, just sitting here in this silent house night after night gives me the creeps. And with my heart, what 'tis. Well, anyway, his 2 months' rent's up tomorrow. And I got my mind made up. I got my mind made up.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Hawkins. Well, I didn't know you for a minute standing there in the dark.
Well, I didn't want to miss you this time, Mr. Jennings.
No?
I got your money this morning for next month stuck under the door.
Oh, yes, yes. I had to leave early. I hope it is all right.
No, it wasn't all right. I'm sorry, but the floor has been rented, Mr. Jennings.
Rented?
To a young serviceman and his wife from the fourth. They took it sight unseen this morning.
Oh, but you can't.
They're living in a crowded room on 81st Street. It's very crowded. I told them I figured you could probably get most of your stuff out in a week.
A week? I never told you I was going, Mrs. Hawkins.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jennings.
If it's a matter of a little more rent, I'll be glad to pay. And sign a lease, any kind of a lease you want.
Not a matter of rent or a lease, Mr. Jennings. It's just... I want my floor back, that's all.
But Mrs. Hawkins...
I like neighborly people upstairs, Mr. Jennings. I'm home a lot. I like people I can trust. I don't want no mysteries in my house. New locks on the door so no one can get in and sneakings in and out at night.
Oh, Mrs. Hawkins, I swear to you it's all right. Perfectly all right.
All this business about Mrs. Jennings. Never a face at the window, never a footstep on the floor, or a dish rag hung out on the line.
Mrs. Jennings is ill. She's not like other people. Oh, I tell you, I won't go. You've got to let me stay.
Here's your rent back, Mr. Jennings.
I haven't any place to go. This is my home. It's all I have. I stake dead of everything on being here. Everything.
There are other floors vacant in this neighborhood.
No. It's got to be this one, this particular floor. Mrs. Hawkins, if I could buy the house, the whole house.
Buy the house?
Yes, if it's for sale. Perhaps you've never thought of selling it, but I'd give you a good price. I'd scrape the money together somehow.
This house ain't for sale. It happens to be my home, too, Mr. Jennings.
Oh, I know, but you're all alone now that Mr. Hawkins is... I mean, it's a heavy responsibility. A big house and all those stairs to keep clean and the repairs and all. Oh, Mrs. Hawkins, if you'd only reconsider, I'd do anything.
No, it's too much for me. I don't understand it. Why can't she see me and talk to me? Why can't she invite me in for a cup of tea and explain?
Because she can't.
What's the matter with her that she can't? Is she so ugly or so beautiful or so crazy? Who is she, anyway?
I can't tell you.
Okay, Mr. Jennings. Then that's that.
Mrs. Hawkins.
Yes? I'm here, Mr. Jennings, at the dumbwaiter.
Mrs. Hawkins.
Yes, Mr. Jennings. What is it?
I'm sending you down the key on the dumbwaiter. She wants you to come up.
She?
Mrs. Jennings. Okay? Got it?
Yes. She wants me to come up now, Mr. Jennings?
That's right.
Well, it's kind of late. If she ain't so well.
That's all right. She's feeling much better tonight. She wants to talk to you about the floor before it's too late.
Okay. I'll be right up. Okay, Mr. Jennings. I'm here.
Come in. You have the key.
Okay. Well, where's your lights, Mr. Jennings? I can't see a thing.
I'll light a candle in a moment. Mrs. Jennings prefers the dark. But you know this floor so well, Mrs. Hawkins. Come in.
Oh, where are you, Mr. Jennings?
Right in here, in the parlor, sitting on the sofa.
That's just the wind. There's always a little draft blowing in here. But won't you sit down, Mrs. Hawkins?
No, thanks. I'm only going to stay a minute, just long enough to meet Mrs. Jennings.
Oh, but you've already met her.
Already met her?
Don't you remember? 5 years ago, a rather chilly day, the rain was falling. She rang the bell to ask about the upstairs floor, and you invited her in for a cup of tea.
I'm afraid you're mistaken. That was the first Mrs. Jennings.
That's what I mean.
Oh, no, Mr. Jennings.
Now do you understand, Mrs. Hawkins? Now do you know why we couldn't ever go away?
We? But that couldn't... Well, the first Mrs. Jennings, it's...
I know. You saw her coffin in this very room, didn't you, Mrs. Hawkins? You saw them take her away. I think you even followed out to that cold, dark cemetery.
Well, but that...
But she couldn't stay away. She pleaded with me in my dreams to bring her back, and I brought her back.
Oh, no, Mr. Jennings. Don't say such things.
If everything were the same as in the past, she said, we could have the past. If I furnished our old floor with the same things, she'd live here, too.
Excuse me, Mr. Jennings. I'm afraid
No, don't go yet. There's nothing frightening about it. Would you be afraid to look at a forsythia bush that had been asleep all winter? Or a tulip? Or a tree?
I ain't afraid, Mr. Jennings. I only...
Listen.
What?
You don't hear it? In the bedroom? The rocking?
No.
Mabel. Mabel.
Oh, no. Don't call her. I hear it, Mr. Jennings.
Oh, but she wants to meet you. She's always loved you so much.
I just as soon... Some other time, Mr. Jennings. Oh, the door's locked.
It snaps shut behind you. Really, Mrs. Hawkins, don't go. She'll be in a moment. There. She's coming down the hall.
Now, let me out of this. Do you hear? Let me out. My heart won't stand it.
Oh. There she is.
Where?
Standing in the doorway. Mrs. Hawkins. She's going to sing for you.
Sing for me?
This is the first night she's been able to. Do you remember the old song she used to sing of an evening? Swing low, sweet dreams?
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, please, Mrs. Hawkins. She's very timid. You'll frighten her.
The dead can't come back. They'd never want to live on this earth again.
Go on, Mabel, dearest. Don't mind. You're looking very beautiful tonight, my darling. I like that dress. Do you remember when we bought it? On our first wedding anniversary.
Why don't they all come back then? Why couldn't my poor old John...
Sit down, dearest. There. Now it seems like old times again. The flower in your hair, the canary singing in his cage.
No, it can't. Oh, what my heart. Oh, get a doctor, quick.
Your voice was always like a bird's to me. I'll never forget the first time I ever heard it. On an evening in spring at the Calvary Baptist Church.
A doctor.
Play, dearest, play. Go on, dearest. It's all right. Sing.
Swing low, sweet chariot, come for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come for to carry me home.
Have brought you Mildred Natwick and Don DeFore as stars of The Furnished Floor. Tonight's study in Suspense.
This is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines, the sponsor of Suspense.
Suspense on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 13th of September, 1945 on CBS. And that does it for this hour of horror on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.